This episode of Film Scene is being brought to you by our new Zazzle store. For logoed shirts, mugs, and stickers, go to zazzle.com/filmscene.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Welcome to Film Scene, your classic movie source. I'm your host, Tim Gordon. And joining me today is co-host Karen Gordon.
Hello.
And special guest today, Walter Gordon.
Hello.
I know you came today, Walter, just because you're dying to talk about your favorite movie.
This isn't my favorite.
So today, continuing our discussion of the American Film Institute's 100 Years, 100 Movies list, we have moved on to number 94, Goodfellas. From 1990, directed by Martin Scorsese, starring Robert De Niro, Ray Liotta, Joe Pesci, Lorraine Bracco, and Paul Sorvino. So this had an appropriate TCM synopsis this time.
One sentence?
Yes.
Awesome.
A young man works his way up through the New York City mobs.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. Cut to the chase.
So this is a true story by Scorsese. I mean, he didn't write it. It was from a book, correct?
Yes, it was from a book by Nicholas Pileggi, I think.
And I wonder how much truth there is to the whole story.
Well, it's I think like all fiction and nonfiction, you know, there's a basis there, but much of it was ad-libbed.
He actually toned down a lot of the violence from the real story. I'm not joking. The real Henry Hill is known to have killed three people, for example.
That's
just,
all?
Yeah, just well, three.
Among other things that happened. Yep. Also, his wife was actually complicit in some of the stuff he did.
Yeah, this is based on the life of mobster Henry Hill, played by Ray Liotta in the movie. And the whole movie is sort of plotless, more or less, right? It's just a series of vignettes showing his life. Yes? No?
Yeah, I think when you say plotless, that makes it sound like it doesn't have a point. I mean,
no.
there's a bigger overarching theme, but I see what you're saying. It's not like there's one single conflict that needs to be solved.
Right, right.
I mean, he is the conflict that needs to be solved.
Well, I don't know if that ever happens.
I don't think it ever does, no.
So this starts out, you know, at the very beginning, there's a lot of voiceover narration to this, and he says at the very beginning, ever since I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster, right? So that kind of sets the mood for what this whole thing is about, and they flash back to his days when he was, what, how old? Teenager?
Yeah, young teens.
Maybe not even high school age. And he starts doing jobs for the neighborhood goons. Right. And that's how he starts out in the mob, basically. And they kind of, a couple times in the movie, they kind of make this point that the worst thing to be in this world is the rat, the person that snitches on people. And they first show this when he's a kid and gets picked up for something and he refuses to really divulge any info. And he's welcomed home as a bit of a hero because of that. And that's really how he gets his big chances with the bigger bosses.
Well, and I think part of it, too, is that displeasure with his own family, who's very limited in their resources. And when you say he's welcomed home, he's not really welcomed home. He's welcomed into this new mob family.
Right.
Which starts to form the basis of his entire life.
Yeah. What becomes his family rather than his actual family.
Yes.
His best friends in the movie are De Niro and Joe Pesci. De Niro has a weird role to me. Do you think that too?
Like in what way?
Like they don't really specify his place in the organization, how high up he is. He seems kind of like an important guy, but is he really? I don't know. And they don't really say what his job is, I think.
Is it important to know that?
I don't know. I mean, it would fill out his character a little more.
Hmm.
Is that just me?
Well, when you say it has no plot, I guess I think, is it important to even know those things about him from his performance? I mean, to me, this is a typical Robert De Niro performance, so, you know.
Well, I think, to go along with that, I think this is the type of movie that Scorsese excels at, too, where it is not plot-heavy. It's more about the characters and these little vignettes that are cobbled together to make the story.
Yeah, I mean, and then there's his specific artistic sensibility throughout it. Like you said, the... You know, the voiceover narration, the long freezes on the, you know, frame of the film, you know, his long Steadicam shots. I mean, that's all got his fingerprints on it.
Yeah.
So it has a look about it that's Scorsese.
And a lot of music.
Yes.
And Pesci in here plays a bit of a psychopath.
So, De Niro plays a De Niro character and Pesci plays a Pesci character.
I guess so.
I mean, if you want to go that route.
But I think Pesci's more violent here than in other things we saw him in to this point.
You mean My Cousin Vinny wasn't violent? I'm kidding.
That would have been a much different type of movie. Huh?
No, I think there's a level of gratuitous violence here.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, gratuitous.
You're talking about mobsters, so, you know.
Does that mean you don't think it's necessary?
To the extent that they show it, I don't know. I mean, I think you can get the point across once or twice, but there's, you know, there's not a high body count, but there is a lot of blood in the movie.
True. Although they have that that nice scene in the middle where they're showing all these people that got whacked, but it's the afterward. They don't show them getting hit.
Well, it's still the blood and the gore.
Right, true. I mean, and the frozen body.
The frozen bodies, yeah.
But somehow they make that artistic within the framework of the movie.
Well, yeah, it's not that it's unexpected and you don't really feel sorry for these characters. I mean, I couldn't find any real empathy for any of them.
No. What about his
wife? They weren't lovable.
Played by Lorraine Bracco.
I think, you know, she kind of says it in the film where it's exciting at some point. So she's right. Kind of asking for it, too. I mean, greed and, you know, the excitement and all the trappings that go along with it is what really gets them into trouble.
It's kind of funny, though, because there's a point in the middle where it sounds like she's complaining about not having any other friends outside of this mafia circle. But yet at the same time, she also doesn't try to break away from that either.
Well, because if she breaks away from it, she has nothing. Or does she realize that she knows too much and would get whacked herself?
I don't know. It's never really clear.
I think she feared him. Don't you?
And vice versa?
I don't know if he feared her like she feared him, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
Good question. I don't know. I mean, she didn't like him having women on the side.
But it appears that she got used to it because that was expected of her as his wife, right?
I don't know. I mean, she made a big deal about it a couple different times, so who knows? Hmm. So, yeah, during the course of the movie, you know, we see him meet and date this woman that he eventually marries. One of my favorite shots in any movie is the Steadicam shot that you alluded to, where they're going into the Copacabana, mm-hmm. and they're just following them the whole way in, and Ray Liotta's giving out money to everybody that he passes along the way to get in the back door and to take care of his car and all this kind of stuff, and to get a table right up front for the great Henny Youngman show.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know if how good of a first date that would be.
It was the late 50s, early 60s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't seem to mind. there's several well-known set pieces in here. They commit a big robbery at the airport, and that kind of gets some people in trouble because they start spending the money before they should. And there's another big robbery later on. Is that also at the airport?
Yes, that was a separate one.
Yeah. And the same kind of thing. These guys aren't good about playing it low-key.
These aren't low-key people.
No.
So we shouldn't be shocked by that.
I also love the part where Liotta, via narration, is naming all the people, all the mob guys.
It is pretty irritating watching this film with you for that very reason.
Because I laugh at it?
Because they all have the stupid mob names.
Like No Nose?
Yeah.
Or what was it, Jimmy Two Times or something like that?
Fat Tony, I mean, right. You get all those.
I do like that there's a couple times, that scene in particular, where the characters address the camera directly, like you're really in the room with them, you know.
You like that whole breaking the fourth wall bit?
If it's done well, if it's overdone, yeah. It gets annoying.
I always hate it towards the end of the film when he does that in the courtroom, and it's like, really?
Where he steps out of the narration?
Yeah, he steps out of the narration, he becomes, you know, more of a in-person narrator, yeah. And yeah, not a fan of that part.
So really, everything starts to fall apart for him when he becomes not only addicted to drugs, but starts dealing them too, more on the side as his own thing. And his main boss, Paul Sorvino's character, has asked him repeatedly, you know, to lay off the drugs and to not do that type of business because he knows how that ends, right? But eventually, Ray Liotta's character gets caught, and this causes him to sell everybody else out. I don't know that the movie gives a good explanation for why he decided to do that.
To rat everybody out at the end?
Yeah.
It does. He was going to get murdered.
Yeah, I think his own, you know, selfish fear there of getting murdered.
So that was it? It wasn't that...
I don't think he suddenly found a conscience, no.
No, I didn't think it was that either. I didn't know if it was, you know, a sudden fear of going to prison, even though he had been there before.
But if he was in prison, he would have been murdered as well.
Right.
I think is what they were alluding to.
So the irony is they were going to murder him because he was going to rat them out. So that forced him to rat them out.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
So the movie kind of ends with his regret at having to give up the mob lifestyle, the Goodfellas lifestyle.
Well, that's the part that's hard for me about this film. There's no remorse, really. There's no regret other than his own selfish desire.
Yeah, the
know?
Regret is that...
that he can't have more?
Well, that he's now living in the suburbs out in the middle of nowhere and, you know, can't live that exciting life that he had before. But no, he doesn't have regret for anything that he did.
I don't like any of the characters in this film. Now, that doesn't mean I don't like the film. I do, but I can't feel for anybody in this thing.
Well, did you think you were supposed to, though?
Well, I mean, you always want some type of human redemption. And this offers, like, zero redemption for anything other than people getting what they deserve. But even that's not very fulfilling.
It's not? You don't think so?
No. No, I mean, that part where Joe Pesci finally gets killed.
Spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler, sorry. I don't know. For an earlier hit on a made man. I don't... That doesn't make me feel good.
Well, I don't know that you should feel good, but... It's interesting in that they paint this as kind of a glamorous lifestyle. But at the same time, it doesn't work out for anybody, right?
Except the guy who gets to run away and assume a new life.
But even he's miserable because now what's he going to do? Go work in an office or something?
So what's the
theme? Be a bag boy?
What's the theme supposed to be? Life's just miserable?
Crime does not pay.
Or it pays and you can keep running, but you still might be miserable?
That's something else that I find interesting about this is that, you know, they're supposed to be an upper tier level of criminal, yet they all seem to be hurting for money all the time.
Well, because they're all gambling and,
well,
you know,
none of
buying
them
the
are upper tier.
Buying the
you don't
expensive
think so?
Cars.
No,
well, I think if you're
the highest ranking person is Paulie, and he's a mid level Capo Rajima.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, if you're an upper level guy, are you doing all the murdering yourself?
No, but
I mean,
you
got to delegate these things.
I'm saying they're not guys doing, you know, holdups on the street, just mugging people, you know.
Eh, in a roundabout way. But no, I mean, but, you know, you look at the way they throw around money and waste the money and the excess and, you know.
True.
It's expensive to have a girl on the side, apparently.
It's just different than you saw on The Sopranos, for example, where they had big houses and big cars and, Still had girls on the side.
Well, maybe for the 70s, this was big houses in the suburbs.
Maybe.
I mean, that's what you wanted, right?
I don't know.
I mean, they had to live somewhat of a normal existence or people would question things, right? Like when he says he's a contractor or construction worker,
yeah,
or whatever.
He's in construction.
He's in construction. I mean, you know, that's, you've got to seem realistic, I suppose.
Well, but what about everything else with their cars and the...
No, they're just classy enough. They're just gaudy enough, you know, to feel like you've got some type of status symbol.
So this movie did not win the Best Picture award that year.
It lost to
Dances with Wolves.
I could see that.
That gets kind of a bad rap today, but I don't know that that's deserved. I think that that still is a good movie.
I like Dances with Wolves. Yeah. It's just a completely different type of movie.
Yeah. Now, there are some criminal things that happened. They didn't win editing and lost to Dances with Wolves.
I can see editing. This was a well-edited film, particularly the sound and the music editing.
Joe Pesci did win, though, which I didn't remember.
I didn't remember that either.
And another criminal act was Lorraine Bracco did not win. Do you know who she lost to?
I'm sure you're going to tell me. Probably someone I don't even remember.
She lost to Whoopi Goldberg.
For Ghost?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
That's just wrong.
I suppose.
So what are your overall thoughts on Goodfellas?
I mean, I don't want to say it's a stereotypical gangster film, but in a way it's a stereotypical gangster film.
I think a lot of people hold this in higher regard than I do. And that's not to say that I think it's bad. I like it too.
Does this offend your Italian sensibilities?
No, not at all.
As one of those people?
We're not thin-skinned like that.
But you seem to enjoy it, especially the shots of the food. So
yeah.
Those are your favorite scenes.
Most authentic part.
Yeah, probably. Most likely.
So this is only number 94 on the list. And in your opinion, is that about right? Or do you think that should have been higher?
I mean, Scorsese's got other films on the list. He's got Taxi Driver. He's got Raging Bull. So I think in comparison to those, I think it's about right. This is one of those films that I think goes on about a half hour too long.
Yeah.
You know, when we were watching it last night, I was thinking, yeah, we could have cut about a half hour out of there somewhere.
Although it does seem shorter the more times you see it.
No, it does not. It seems just as long.
So if you were given this on a 5-star scale, what would you say?
I'd go 3.5 or 4.
Walter?
A strong 3.5.
Probably about the same.
Yeah, I would say 4.
What, do you like it?
I don't think it's a bad movie, but my problem with most gangster films and most noir films is I don't care about any of the characters because they're all horrible people.
See, and that was what I was saying my problem is with it. These are not likable people.
Yeah, I mean, that's roughly what I think about it.
I think that about Ghost, though, too.
Yeah.
Those are horrible people?
I don't like that either.
I don't think you've sat through Ghost.
No, but I mean...
Oh, now we know what we need to make him sit through.
So what fun facts and trivia do you have for us, Karen?
I think it was in our last review of Pulp Fiction. We talked about all the cursing. This one beats Pulp Fiction in terms of F-words. 321 versions of the F-bomb.
I want to be the guy that gets to count that stuff.
I know, right? It is the 12th most profanity-laden film to date.
I honestly
don't know what number one is, but I mean... Well, and they said a lot of that was improvised, that in the script there was only like 70 or so instances, but with all the ad-libbing going on, they got carried away, especially Joe Pesci's character. They said he averaged 2 F-words per sentence in this film. So, I thought that was... Again, not a family film.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination. Until your family is a little bit older.
Was that it? That's all you got?
Well, no, I've got more. I didn't know if you wanted to converse on any of that. Some of the other notable names that were considered for the role of Henry Hill included Alec Baldwin. I can kind of see that. Sean Penn. I could also see that. So these weren't as far-fetched as some of them.
Yeah.
No mention of Cary Grant. I'm kidding.
Alec Baldwin just seems weird now.
Fat old Alec Baldwin from 30 Rock? Yeah.
At the time, would have been different.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's a violent alcoholic.
I mean, he was in some... Was he in some gangster films back then?
He was in Glenn Ross. That's okay. Pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close, yeah. I mean, so yeah, that kind of greasy Alec Baldwin was in that as well. Both of Martin Scorsese's parents are in the film. His mother playing Joe Pesci's mother.
Yes.
In her wacky role with her crazy glasses.
And her funny paintings.
And her funny paintings. yeah. Probably the most interesting thing was they used real money throughout the film.
Okay.
Well, so every time that they left the set, they pretty much have to lock it down until all the money was counted back in before people could leave.
Yeah.
So
it's like working at McDonald's or something.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. They liked the feel of real money, so they used real money.
Huh.
So I want to know who has those $1,000 bills floating around.
Yeah, did they mark them all?
Yeah, probably. Probably. And this one did move up from number 94 to number 92 in the revised AFI film count.
Well, there you go.
So, I mean, I think two films up is appropriate.
So what did Ray Liotta do before this? Field of Dreams?
Yeah, he had Field of Dreams. I think he was in, Something Wild?
Yeah.
That was about it. I mean, he didn't have a lot going on. This was early in his career.
I'm kind of surprised he didn't do more after this, too.
Yeah, he disappeared for a while, and now he's been popping up in places.
I think he probably made some bad choices, and that always sinks you.
I suppose. I don't know. But no, I mean, I do like this film. I think it's, you know, it's quality. It's not The Godfather.
No.
You know, which I think is what else people compare it to.
Or Scarface.
It's far better than The Godfather.
Really?
Yeah.
Not why? I think The Godfather.
I just don't like The Godfather.
Do you don't like it because it's a long trilogy or it's a...
I've only seen the first one.
Oh, you haven't seen Godfather 2 and he's your son? What are we going to do about that?
I don't think the first one was very good.
The fourth one sucked.
Wait, there's only three.
The third one, sorry. It was so bad I jumped to number 4.
Now, granted, like you said before, you don't necessarily care for crime movies, though, too.
I like crime movies. I just don't like gangster movies, really.
Is there a crime movie that's not a gangster movie?
Or noir.
I mean, I'd have to think about it.
No, you liked Bonnie and Clyde.
I thought it was okay.
See, you just don't like crime.
That's not true.
Crime doesn't pay. At the box office, apparently, for Walter Gordon.
So is that it? That's all the trivia you got?
There's not a lot of crazy trivia involved with this one. I mean, there was a lot of real-life mob people working on the set and in the background.
Real-life mob people.
Real-life mob people.
Like Paul Sorvino?
Connected people. I don't know. Isn't everybody think they're connected to something? I mean, come on. So, how connected, we don't know.
Yeah, that's an ethnic stereotype that most people don't seem to mind.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to offend you.
I mean, there are people that will occasionally try to get a protest going over stuff like that, but it generally doesn't go anywhere.
Well, the actual mob tried to set up an Italian-American civil rights organization to claim that the FBI's prosecution of the mafia was racist in the 1970s.
How did that work out?
The guy who was running the organization got shot in a mob hit during one of their rallies.
There you go. So...
Yeah, that seems to happen.
I don't know. Some stereotypes exist for a reason.
So yeah, I think this and Scarface get held up by a lot of people higher than they probably should. I think this is a lot better than Scarface. Scarface isn't even on the list, so.
It's not?
No.
Mm. Another film that's too long.
Yeah, no doubt. But, yeah, I mean, me thinking that doesn't mean that I don't think it doesn't belong on this list, so.
Wait, so you're thinking in the 90s is an appropriate place?
I would have to look at all the other things ahead of it, and I don't have that right in front of me. But yeah, I mean, I'm not offended by that. I mean, it doesn't belong above The Godfather, despite Walter's opinion.
True. Like, I'm like, Raging Bull is fairly high on the list. Well, I don't know if that's high on the list.
I like that better.
Yeah, I want to say that's higher on the list, the highest of his films on the list.
Probably.
You can check that pretty quickly. Yes, it is. Raging Bull is at number 4. Taxi Driver, 52. Goodfellas, 90.
Wait, Raging Bull is at number 4? On the original list?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was 2000. It went up 20 spots, so it was at number 24.
Yeah.
So it was in the upper quarter.
Yeah.
Still too high.
You know, for Raging Bull. You know. And Taxi Driver dropped a little bit. It's in, it was in the 40s. So.
Hmm. What do you know?
Scorsese's made some weird films.
Hugo?
Yeah, weird films like Hugo. Not at all. Just some odd choices.
Alice doesn't live here anymore.
But good. I've never seen that.
Well, we know what we're doing tonight.
No, we have to watch The Apartment because that's what's next on our list.
So I think that's it for us, huh?
I think so.
All right. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to write to us at film.scene@yahoo.com and look us up on facebook.com/filmscenepodcast. And we're also on Twitter @filmscene1. Don't forget about our half.com store, too, for great deals on books, movies, music, and games. Click on shops in the bottom left corner and type in TGOR1. And when you get a moment, rate and review us on iTunes. Until next time, I'm Tim.
I'm Karen.
Walter.
Thanks for listening.